We will be in the book of Haggai, amen. Just welcome you this morning. I'm going to be talking about Haggai the prophet, but I'm asking God right now to open up your spirit and receiving this. I need to have you understand this word that I'm going to be speaking, that God gave me this word, and I've always been very serious about serving God, and I always know that God is an all-knowing God, and he's right in the midst of us, so he sees everything, amen? We can't do anything and get away with anything, but when the Lord called me, and I started to do a message from the book of Ezra, and then Pastor Ricardo talked about Samuel. And then in the midnight hour, the Lord woke me up and took me to the book of Haggai. So with that, I'm asking Heavenly Father that your word goes forth. Father God, remove me, that I would be able to speak the oracles of God in this hour to this body, Father God, and to those that will be watching or listening in this hour. I ask you to bless each and every one here this morning in Jesus' holy name. So we've been pastoring and preaching for the last 9 years. It's 9 years now. We've entered into our ninth year. I don't know about you, but I know that the Lord has literally taken me through the Bible, and my life is in this Bible. How many know that your life is in this Bible? Amen. If you would take the time to study, he will tell you where you're at in this hour and in this moment and in this generation. But the Lord took me to the book of Haggai. You know, I'm not going to get into so much of the background detail, but just a little bit about who Haggai was. He was a prophet to the Jews. There was like a return of the Jewish people from exile. They were in bondage in Babylon. So this was one of the first return that they came back. And he said, there was what was really amazing to me that I want you to understand, that during this time, they have dates and times when this happened. So September, October, November, December. These were the 4 months. He's given a message within the 4 months. He gave four messages within 4 months. It started September, October, November, December. In the Jewish calendar, it runs together like September, October, November, December. It'll run in together October, November, depending on where the calendar is. So what he was telling the people, he came to talk to the people of Israel, and he came to give them a message. And he came, and the first message, my message is called Perform, Perform, Patience, and Ponder. Perform, Patience, and Ponder. So Perform was the first message that he gave. The second message, he was talking about patience. And then the third was Ponder. So I want you to remember those, Patience, Perform, and Ponder. So he was coming back to the people to tell the people what was going on in that hour, since there was a small group of people that came back. It was called the remnant. He was talking to them about putting their priorities back in order in the house of God. What are your priorities today? Amen. So some of you are going to, you've already passed this part, but I'm really believing that God is talking to us, especially to me, because I got so ministered while he was talking. What he was telling the people, that we need to put our priorities back into the house of God. And he was asking the people, where is your heart today? What are you doing today? Where is your heart? Is there something going on? Like, I love what Pastor Pete said, you know, put it, ball it up, and, you know, just throw it. Give it to God. But where are our priorities? What are you doing? What are you putting first before God? This is what he was telling the people. He urged them to do what they should have done from the very first start. We were called a long time ago, but I know that Dennis and I, we've been in ministry over 20 years. He says, you should have done what you were called, but because you didn't do it, I'm giving you another chance, because God is a God of second chances, amen? You've been trained, you've been going through some stuff. How many people ever got hurt in a church? You've gotten hurt, you've been through trials, tribulations, heartaches, hardships, all these things you've been. He said, you should have done it when I first called you into the kingdom of God, but we kind of dragged our feet. And we did what was right in our own eyes, Pastor Ricardo. We did what we thought was right in our own eyes. When we went to Bonnie Cove Church, we did what we thought was right right in our own eyes. This is what the Haggai was telling the people. He says that he was there to tell them to rebuild. But this time, because God is a God of second chances, he's saying this time to rebuild with a willing heart. Are we willing to do this? Are we willing to put our hands to the plow? Are we willing? God says, I'm going to call those to come and help on the house of God. Because we've been in ministry too long. We've been in church too long. And he says, because you didn't do it the first time the way I did, I took you through some stuff. Because I know for me, I had to go through some stuff to get rid of some stuff. Amen? Because it was so much stuff that I thought that I knew, but I really didn't know. Amen? Haggai's name means festival or a feast, meaning restoring the temple of worship. So, you know, I hear my husband in his room, and he loves worship. If you notice that he loves worship. And the first thing that Haggai was telling the people is to restore the worship in the house of God. And I see my husband in there putting all these different worship songs, and he's worshiping. I'm a worshiper, but I don't have a voice. But I'm not him. God called Haggai to tell the priest, to tell, it was Zerubbabel and Joshua, tell the priest to restore the worship back into the house, because the foundation was already laid. We were going to talk about the foundation, but the foundation was already laid. He says to restore it. So I see my husband in that room, in his office, worshiping and crying, and I just walk right by. He's called to do that. I'm not called to restore. He's called to restore the worship. You and I are called to restore the worship back. This song that we sang right now, we're praising a king. I couldn't even imagine that if he walked in right now, we're just going to stand. I'm going to fall on my face. I'm going to fall on my hands and knees. He says to restore it. So I see my husband in there. He says what happened, that there became a spiritual laziness because we got discouraged. We got distracted, and we stopped building on the house of God, because when we were at the church of the brethren, we kind of stayed put, and we were in that sense that we're ready to give up because there was nothing happening, no changes. But what he came to tell them, that because of their spiritual drowsiness, laziness, it was just being lazy when you didn't want to come to church, or if you're at another church and you're visiting, just sometimes we come and we're tired. We don't want to come. But see, Dennis and I, we are the pastors that God called. We have to come. We dedicated our life. You dedicated. We have some very faithful people in this church that God, you know, you dedicated your life. We said, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. When he first sent us out, we said yes. But there was some things going on. Amen. And it said that they had lost their passion. I love that these messages that we're giving right now in this hour, that we lost our passion, that they had lost their passion about worshiping the true God. There was a lot of procrastination. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll go next week. No, they don't need me there today because so-and-so's there doing it. I don't need to go. But he said, no, these were excuses that the people in that day were making. Anything, does this minister to anybody? Because even though we're in a different generation, it happened then. What's your excuse? I'm not feeling good. I got a headache. You know, I'm going to a game. I'm going to a baby shower. Or I got to go to a dance or a party or something. But God said, you're putting everything before me. He doesn't want that. It's, of course, you can go to these functions. And I'm not saying not to go. If God didn't call you into full-time ministry or into full-time service, it's not for you. But I believe he's called all of us. I'm saying, look at yourself. Look at me. What have I done? What have I done? Don't look at Pastor and me. Don't look at the other people. What have I done to better the church? What am I doing to, what is my part that I'm playing? So God's going to tell you. It says that if you see a need, he told the people, if you see a need, just do it. Hey, I could do it. I have that gift. You know, come and see one of the leaders. Come and see one of the pastors. Hey, yeah, I got that gift. Haggai came with another message, which he said, I'm saying this morning, God, that I want us to be a healthy church, a healthy people. He's looking for healthy spirits. Amen. Yet we could come in broken. It's okay, because we got to repent. We got to say, Lord, I need help. I need Jesus 24 hours, 7 days a week. I don't know about you, but I need him. Every moment of the day, I need him. You know, we say that all these things that are going, but the Lord has spoke to me a very long time that my house should be called a house of prayer. We are here because of prayer, people. Do you know that, beloved, that we're here because of prayer? He says that Haggai came with another message. He assured that the Lord was with them. So I'm saying here, God is still with us. He hasn't forgotten about us, even though we were lazy, even though we didn't do according to what he asked us to do the first place. But there were some lessons that we needed to be taught. Amen. So there was four messages. It's, you know, when I, Pastor Ken, for those of you that were here when we did our opening, Pastor Ken said one word, and there was only one word that I heard. I don't know about you, when you guys were here for the opening, when we were celebrating, wasn't a whole lot of people, but it was the people that God had. There was only one word that I heard Pastor Ken say. It was nomads. The nomads. He says that we were like those nomads. And a nomad was someone that had no permanent housing or home, that we were looking for a house. We were here and we stayed there for 5 years, or maybe we stayed there for 4 years, and then now we're moving. And the Lord showed me that even the nomads, through the Levitical priesthood, they never owned property. If you do the research, the priests never owned property. You know why? Because God told them it belonged to him. It belonged to God. Everything that God had was ours. It didn't matter whether we owned or anything, because God says it's all mine. The silver, the gold, everything's mine. And so here it wasn't about a physical building that we were looking at. Pastor Ken said that it meant people that had no fixed residence but moved from place to place. That bothered me. It really bothered me. I don't know if anybody else heard that. But it was talking about, the Lord told me this, that we're just sojourners here. We're not to make this our home anyway. But he found a place for us to worship. And now this is where we're at today. It says that the word of God said that we are pilgrims just passing through. But the key points that I want to talk about was about the people's attitude. It was about the people's attitude. What is clean and what was unclean? Haggai was asking, God was asking the prophet to ask, what do you think is clean and unclean? He was asking these questions. Don't we know what's clean and unclean, people? Do we not know? Do we not know what's wrong and what's right? Amen. And he was asking him. God tells me, Matthew 6:33 says, to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. Correct? That's nothing that we don't know. So September, they started building. October, it was the second. So he gave four messages. September, we started building. September, we got the new place. We're going to move. October comes, we move in. Talk about patience and ponder. That's where we're going to pick up here. Let's go to Haggai 1:3. And the word of the Lord said, then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for yourselves to dwell in your panel houses? Sorry, this light. panel houses. This temple, it lays ruins. See, they were more concerned about building their own houses. This is what it says right here. Is it time for yourself to dwell in the panel houses and this temple lay ruins? Because they were more concerned about building who they were, what their house looked like, what their jobs were, making their money. They were running after things that they were questioning. Haggai, the Lord tells Haggai to tell him, is it time for you yourself to dwell in your panel houses and this temple is laid ruins? So we were in a place where it was just kind of desolate. You know, the church was there. We were worshiping. We were opening up our doors. But there was a time where it was just kind of desolate. Jump to verse 5. Thank you. Thank you. Verse 5, it says, I'm going to jump down. It says, now therefore, thus the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. It's saying, now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts. Haggai was telling him, consider your ways. What about you? Don't look at me. I've made so many mistakes, but I'll say that I'm sorry and I'll humble myself and under the mighty hand of God. But he's saying, now therefore, thus saith the Lord, consider your ways. Don't look at anybody else. What have you brought to the table? What have you done for me? What are you doing for me? This was what the Lord was saying to them. I want to go back to 2:1-2. It says, Thus speak the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house shall be built. So they were saying, no, they were putting it off. It's not time to build the house of God. We should have been building the house of God before our own priorities. Did anybody have any priorities? Did anybody have any priorities before God's? I think we all have been there. We put God second and we do what we want to do. Amen. verses 1-6. Amen. I'm just going to speak the truth, okay? So don't shoot the messenger, because I'm just going to say what the Lord has me saying here. You have sold much, but bring in a little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourself, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put in a bag with holes. Do you ever get money and then the next day you're broke? Man, I just got paid. I put in my tithes. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I just got paid. And then all my money's gone. He says your wages. It's like putting it in a bag with holes. See, Dennis and I have been blessed ever since I came into the house of God. We've never lacked anything. We've always been blessed. I know that there's many that are blessed, never lack anything. But have you ever been living on a budget? Man, I just got to get to the end of the month. You know, I just got to get to the end of the month, Lord. But I put in my tithes. But are we putting our tithes with our heart willingly into the house of God and not grudgingly? Because then we have holes in our pocket. That's what he's saying, that they had holes in their pocket. Nothing lasts. They have food to drink. They have their clothes, they're doing, but nothing lasts. It says, you know, God asked and he said to look at your own lives. Though they ate and drank, they never seemed to be satisfied. Are you in that place where you never seem to be satisfied? That, you know, he's saying this to us, 7:1-7. Thus again, consider your ways. God is talking to us this morning. Consider your ways. And then verse 8, it says, go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. Stop doing all your ways and go up into the mountains, seek God. God advised them to go up into the mountains, bring wood, and I will take pleasure in it. God will take pleasure in building the house of God. Right now he's taking pleasure to see all you men come in and put your shirts on and you're standing in position and you're getting ready, because there's something about to happen, people. There's something about to happen. I didn't stay in the kingdom of God to see everything dwindled away. I prayed. I pressed in. We pressed in. You pressed in. Even coming from miles and miles, you pressed in. Yet we were a small group, but we pressed in. And because we pressed in, he says, consider your ways that I will be pleasure. It will pleasure me and I will be glorified of what you're doing unto me. Amen. Verses 1 and 12. I'm just going to jump for time's sake, 1:12. Then Zerubbabel, because it was about Zerubbabel and Joshua. I don't want to go into the whole story. You should know the story. But if you don't know the story, it's very interesting. Read the story. Then Zerubbabel, the son, and Joshua, the son of the high priest. Zerubbabel was the governor. And because I'm not going to mess up their names, Joshua was the high priest. With all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord gave, God had sent him. And the people feared the presence of the Lord. See, I fear the presence of God. I don't fear man. I'm not here to please man. I'm here to please God. And so when I'm not in the Father's will, my spirit is broken. You know, I'll go into prayer and I'll start praying and asking the Lord. Matthew 28:20 says this. Teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. See, God called Dennis and I to preach and teach. Amen. We're to teach and preach. We have other associate pastors to teach and preach one another. If God's given you that teaching ability, step it up. Let's step it up. You know, we need teachers. We need leaders. We need a youth pastor. I'm saying, God, bring us a youth pastor. We need musicians. We need worshipers. God given you something. We're in a time where we need people to step up. I'm asking God for this. Matthew 28, teaching them to observe all things that I commanded them. And lo, I am with you always. I'm with you. He says, I'm with you. I'm with you, Pastor Dennis. Jesus says, I'm with you, Pastor Pete. I'm with you. I've been with all of you. I've been with you. Even when you were away from me, I've been with you. There was nothing that you can do to turn me away from you, because I love you with an everlasting love. There was nothing, no disappointment, because I love you with an everlasting love. Verses 1:14. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, which was the governor, and the spirit of Joshua, and the spirit of all the remnant. Listen to this. So the Lord stirred up Dennis and I's spirit. Keep going. Stirring you up. He's stirring you up. He says, stir me up, God. He said he stirred up the governor. He stirred up the leaders. And then he says, the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house. Amen. They came willingly and worked on the house. And then he goes on to say in verses 16. No, that was it. He comes. Let me see right here, because I don't want to lose my place. I don't want to miss this. He says that Zerubbabel and Joshua were in the place where they were supposed to be. And that time and that moment, Pastor Dennis and Pastor Denise, we are in the place where we're supposed to be right now. This time, this hour, this day, this moment, this purpose. Amen. And he says, I'm going to stir you up. So he started to stir us up. When we got this building, I was ready to just not stop serving God, but throw in the towel. I don't want to do this. This is just not for me anymore. I'm ready. I'm going to get in my car. For those of you that didn't know me in the world, when I was done, I was done. There was nothing you could change my mind. I'm done. I'm out. See you. I'm not coming back. That's how I was. This is where I got in September. But God says, I'm going to stir up your spirit again. And when we were able to move, we got new vision. We have new spirit. We're stirring up. People are coming. I see friends. We're getting phone calls. And we're saying, what's going on? Everything started changing. Amen. Because we need to change. The second message, this was the first message was to perform. Do what I called you to do. Real simple. Nothing hard about it. The second message was patience. This was an October message directed to the hearts of the people. This message should be directed to you and me. It was directed to the hearts of the people, and this was in October, verses 2, chapter 2, verses 2. Speak now, it says here, speak now to the Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, and Joshua, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, saying, who is left among you who saw the temple in its former glory? Were you somewhere where you seen something good going on maybe 10 years, 20 years ago? You seen the church just alive and well? I know we did. But you got to remember, this is not the temple that we're waiting for. The temple is to be with the Father in heaven in Revelation chapter 6. But I'm just saying right now where we're at, he says, who is left among you? How many people were united in him fellowship when we were at Bonnie Cove? We had so many people that we had a motorcycle ministry. We had teachers. We had leaders. We had pastors. Everybody wanted to run the court. Everybody wanted to run the show. Everybody was called. Everybody was doing whatever they thought was good in their own eyes. Amen. Even us included. And how do you see it now? Wow, when we would go to church in the Church of the Brethren, and maybe I don't know anybody else that's listening, but when we go on a Thursday night, it would just be the same faithful. Thank you, faithful. Thank you. God says to tell you thank you because we held on. There was something deep down in our hearts that we knew that God still had a purpose and plan for us. Something deep down, we stayed. Amen. 2:3. It goes on to saying, who's left among us? And how do you see it now in comparison with it? Is this not in your eyes as nothing? Verses 4. Yet now, be strong, Zerubbabel. Be strong, pastors of this house. Be strong, leaders of this house. Don't throw in the towel yet. It's not time to throw in the towel yet. He says, be strong, says the Lord. And be strong, Joshua. Be strong, Pastor Dennis. Be strong, Pastor Denise. Don't throw in that towel, he says. And be strong, all you people. He says, be strong, everybody. Be strong, Jose. Maybe you went through something, but you just went through it. You're here sitting today. Maybe you went through something, but you're here right now, and it's okay because tomorrow is gone. It'll never come back. I can never get tomorrow. I mean, yesterday, today. Today, we got to live today because salvation is for today. He says, and work, for I am with you, says the Lord. I have been with you since the time you got saved, since the time you said yes, since the time, verses 2:5. According to the word that I covenant with you, I made a covenant with you. Remember, I made a covenant with you. You came out of Egypt. Remember when I took you out of Egypt? Remember when I took you out of the sins that you were in? Remember when I called you? When I first called you, you were so excited. You wanted to tell everybody about Jesus. Remember when I first called you? He says, you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains with you. Do not be afraid. Don't have fear. My spirit remains. So that's telling me he called me out of Egypt back in 1979. He gave me this Bible. Oh, my God. I read it, and I read it. And then I went through my stuff, and I put it in the drawers. And then I read it in 1979. We're now 2019, going on 2020. I lost so much stuff. I lost cars, jewelry, stuff, but I never lost the word. This Bible, look, somewhere in my drawer, somewhere this Bible popped up. Somewhere this is what meant so much to me. There's things that we need to let go. And then I came across this. Can you put them up, Margie? Then I came across this. Remember, Pastor Dennis? Remember when you got baptized? Remember, look at the face. You were like so happy. You were so happy. I have victory. I was baptized in the name of Jesus. Remember, Pastor Dennis, God told me to stir your spirit up and tell you to remember what he called you from, where he's taken you from. He took you out of the pit of hell. He took you out of a mental institution. He says, I want that guy back. I want you back. He said, I want you back when you first fell in love with me. Do you remember when you first fell in love with me? He says, Denise, I never left you. Janet, I'll never leave you, he said. Anthony, he'll never leave you. He says, one thing that I will not do is leave you. I'll never leave you. This is so important. Because my husband had said one time, I lost my passion for the people. What happened, Denise? I lost my passion. I've been hurt. I got so hurt and so wounded, and we get hurt in churches, but let it go. Because God has a new journey, a new mission, there's a new people out there that's dying and going to hell, but I filled you, and you know the word of God. He says, I made that covenant with you. Nobody else made that covenant with you. I made it with you. God hasn't rescinded his covenant. He hasn't taken back his promises. Exodus 29:42-46. He told Moses in that day, and trust me, God's word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This shall be a continuing burning offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of the meeting. God will meet us here. He will be here. He says, before the Lord, where I will meet you to speak with you. I want to speak with you. I want to tell you. I want to talk to you. Exodus 42:43. And there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. We need to have this, and we need to reverence this house. We're in a new house. He's saying to reverence the new house. 44, I'll meet you. So I will consecrate the tabernacle of the meeting and the altar, and I will also consecrate both Aaron and his sons to minister to me as priests. He's consecrating every single one of you to be a minister and a priest for him. Amen. This is not about Dennis and I. This is about you and God. 45. I will dwell among the children of Israel and be their God. The Lord saying, I will be your God. Just let me be your God. Let me be your guide. Let me be everything to you. Even though it was at the first beginning when you first got saved, I'm still here. I'm the same God. Amen. 46. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God who brought you up out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them, and I am the Lord their God. God is saying that he is our God. Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 20 to 21. It says, you also gave your good spirit to instruct. You also gave your good spirit to instruct them. See, the Holy Spirit became my teacher. The Holy Spirit is instructing me right now. I'm not getting this from man. I'm not getting this from another program. I'm not listening to anybody. God doesn't want you to listen to anybody. He says, let the Holy Spirit instruct you. So we could give each other advice. We could tell you what the Word of God says, but let the Holy Spirit instruct you. And then he says that, and do not withhold your manna from their mouth and give the water from where they're thirsty. He says he has not withheld anything from us. He's never held anything from us. I look at my husband and I, our lives, we're blessed people. We've been very blessed in the times of serving God. He's a full-time minister. We're full-time. We're retired. He doesn't leave us out in the cold. God has taken care of us so good and gracious. How could I not get up at 5 o'clock? How could I not come in here every time the doors are open? How could I say, no, I can't go there, but I got to stay here because this is a house that God brought me to. He says, you're going to teach a people. You're going to lead a people. I've called you and your husband to lead a people. I've sent you good people. I'm going to send you more people because the truth needs to be spoken. Amen. 21. 40 years he sustained them in the wilderness. 40 years he's taken care of you and I. 40 years he's been there. He's given you those jobs. He's given you those raises. He's given you health and wholeness. And then there's going to always be those that sick and never get well. That's just the way it is. I'm going to die. We're going to die. What are we leaving? What are we leaving to our children? I got a grandson. I got a great grandson. What am I leaving to them? What are you leaving to your children? Because I've been so hurt and I just don't want to do anything in the house of God. This is for us. This is where God's called you. Amen. 40 years, he says he's taking care. He says 40 years. 2:17, 2:7, verses 2:7. It says that he's going to shake it up again. He says right here, and I will shake up all nations, and they shall come to the desires of all. And I shall shake up all nations, and they shall come to the desires of all nations, and I will fill the temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. Something's coming, people. Something's coming to our nation, that the temple is and the church is going to be full. Because people are not going to know where to go to but God. Amen? But God. I'm going to say that again. And it's not to fear anybody, but something needs to be shaken here on the earth because we're too spoiled as Americans. We're too spoiled here in the United States of America. Our churches are fat and full. But he says, I have to shake up something again, once again. And this is going to draw people in. Are we going to be at our post and ready to receive them? Because they're going to be a mess. They're going to be crying. They're going to be a mess. We're saying, you know what, it's going to be okay. The word of God says, you need to know the word of God says, amen. Matthew 24:29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the heaven and the powers of the heaven will be shaken. So God is saying something is going to be shaken up. 2:9. Go back to 2:9. Chapter 2:9. Haggai, did you guys have it up there? Let me just read it here. It says, and the glory of this latter temple will be greater than the former temple, says the Lord of hosts, and in this place I will give peace. God is talking about he's going to give us peace. He's given me so much peace I've never had before. I didn't understand that peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Today we have that peace. I don't know about you, but he says, I'm bringing the peace unto you. I will give you peace, says the Lord. Has he given you peace? Do you have peace in this hour? Because if you don't have peace in this hour, you need to go back and ask God, show me, Lord, what am I missing? I need the peace of God. I have the peace of God like never before. Psalms 85:8-9. It says, I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints, but let them not turn back to their follies. If God wants to give you peace, the reason why you lose your peace because you start going back and doing the same thing you used to do before. You stop drinking, you stop getting on fire for God, and you want to do, just saying, I didn't know this was going to be my message, but God starts working out things for you, and then he says to the people, he says, but then let them not turn their backs to the folly. Don't go backwards. I'm taking you out. I've taken you out of that 40 years ago, but then you keep going backwards. Don't do that, he's saying. But if you do it, know this. There's consequences that will come along with that. Amen? He says, don't do that. Verses 9. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. I want the Lord to dwell here. I want the Lord to dwell here. Is he dwelling in your hearts? I played church for 15 years. Let me tell you, I played church. I'm going to say this again. I played church for 15 years. One foot in, one foot out, one foot in, one foot out. And then it just became so easy. But then I had fallen flat in the pit of hell. And I had lost everything. I was dying in my own blood the 15th year. And I cried out to God and he still came and saved me. Amen. He still came and saved me. Now, this is the third message that he gave, and it was talking about ponder. Remember, perform, patience, and ponder. This was about ponder. 2:18. This was a very short book. I think Obadiah is the smallest book. This is the second smallest book. Chapter 2:18. I'm just going to jump over there. Consider now, from this day forward, you've heard a word from God. Perform, patience, and ponder. But consider yourself from this day forward. Forget about what you did yesterday. Forget about what you did yesterday. I'm telling you to consider yourself from this day forward. On the 24th day of the ninth month from the day that the foundation of the Lord temple was laid. Consider it. When God told you to come in, consider what you've been doing from this day forward. Forget about what you did yesterday. But I'm telling you right now, thus saith the Lord, to consider what you're doing from this day forward. It goes on to saying that is the seed still in the barn? Is the seed still in the barn? There should be something right there. Is the seed still in the barn? As yet the vine, the fig trees, the pomegranates, the olive tree have not yielded fruit. But from this day forward, I will bless you. I will bless you. Is anybody receiving this? I know I'm going to receive it. I will bless you. From this day forward, if you stop doing and just be obedient to what God's called you to do, from this day forward, I will bless you. Yet he's blessed us, but there's been holes in our pockets. Yet there's been stuff that's been in the church. And then it goes on to saying the fourth one was saying about ponder. It says verses 18, 19. I just read 19. I will bless you. I would highlight that and remind God. You said, Lord, if I do this, you're going to bless me from this day forward. And it goes on to saying this, 19. I wanted to go to Zechariah. This is where I wanted to go to Zechariah chapter 8. But I'm going to go there because I didn't give it to the girls. But this is what the Lord is saying for us today. Zechariah, you could write it down. Look it up later. Mark it in your Bible. Zechariah verses 8, verses 12 and 12. Let me read this. It says, for the seed shall be prosperous from this day forward. Whatever you sow into the house of God, it'll be prosperous. I'm going to prosper it. The vine shall give its fruits. The ground shall give her increase and the heavens shall give their due. And I will cause this remnant, small group of people, of this people to possess all this. He says, I'm going to give you increase. I receive it, God. I'm going to bless you. I receive it, God. If nobody else received it, I'm going to receive it, Lord. I'm going to give you increase. And he says, and it shall come to pass that just as you were a curse among the nations, just as you were a curse to me, I'm going to give you to be a blessing. You're going to be a blessing today. Amen. A blessing. Do not fear. He says to let your hands be strong. Don't fear. Don't fret. Don't cry over spilled milk. You know, just let me be a blessing. So this is what it goes on to saying that on 20 to 23. Give me 20 to 23. I'm going to read that and I'm almost closing right here. 20 to 23. It says this. And again, the word of the Lord came to Haggai on the 24th day. God, I would underline these dates. Speak to Zerubbabel, the governor, and saying, I will shake the heavens and earth again. He tells him again, I'm going to shake up some stuff that needs to be shaken up. I'm going to close down that bar that you go to. I'm going to do some shifting around here. I'm going to shut some doors because I remember one time my mother had called me in and asked me for a ride on a Sunday, and I went to go see her, and I remember dropping her off in a daytime where they have a sports bar and having a couple of drinks in there. And I said, and my mother knew if I knew where I was dropping her off, I wouldn't have taken her. And I pull up to this parking lot, and I looked, and I got mad. I started crying. I'm sitting in there. I'm praying for my mother. And I'm sitting there in the car. And I said, no, really, Mom, you had me come drop you off at the bar on a Sunday afternoon? I would have never came to get you. So I dropped her off, and then I'm just there crying, and I started speaking in tongues, and I'm crying over this building, this bar. Lord, get this, you know, tear this down. Do whatever you got to do. And I'm crying. And then some girl comes and knocks on the window. I said, I know she don't want to mess with me right now because I'm saved, though. She comes and she says, where are you from? Or something. She tells me something really stupid. This was like about maybe 10 years. I don't know. And I opened the window. I said, I know you didn't tell me that. I know you didn't just ask me that. And then my mother comes out. That's my daughter. What are you doing, you know, homegirl? That's my daughter. Blah, blah, blah. Get away from my daughter. And I just pulled away and I was crying. And I cried all the way home, and I spoke in tongues. And I think within maybe 2 weeks, that bar burned down. That my mom, this is a true story. This is a true story. And my mom called me. She said, Mija, she says, I don't want you to be praying for me. She says, don't be praying for me. And she goes, I know you were praying. You know that bar burned down where I was going to? She goes, what did you do? And I said, I didn't do nothing, mother. But do you know how much authority and how much power that you could have to shut down some stuff? Amen. This is a true story. I'm not even lying. This happened. You can even ask my mother. And then the Lord said, again, I will destroy. 22, I will destroy. This is what he said. I will destroy. I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms. I will destroy the strength of the Gentiles. I will overthrow the chariots and those who ride in them, and the houses and the riders shall come down, everyone by the sword of God. So anything I pray, don't ask me to pray for you because I'm going to pray for you. I will pray for you. This is not the only time that God did this for me. God's done a lot of things because of time's sake. I just want to close this and get this to the last ponder. This is what God's saying. And then in 23, he goes on to say, in that day, the Lord of hosts, I will take you, Zerubbabel, my servant. And the Lord said, I will take you, Zerubbabel, my servant. I will take you, Pastor Dennis, Pastor Pete, Pastor Ricardo. I will take you. He says, and make you like a signet ring, for I have chosen you, says the Lord of hosts. I called you here. No man called you here. I called you here. I called you here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Now let's stand with that. 15, 58. The ponder. This is what he was talking about, ponder. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. What happened was the fact that there was performance. The Lord says to tell you this right now. Do not give up. Do not give up on the house of God. Do not give up. Go up to the mountain and ask the Lord what you're supposed to do. Patience. In spite of everything that you and I have been through, in spite of everything that we've been and we tried to build the temple, God says just to be patient a little bit more. We have to be patient. God is not done with you and I. Amen. He says, I'm not done with you, Joel. Just be patient. Hang in there. Just be patient. And the ponder, I wanted to read 50. I wanted you to leave 1 Corinthians 58. But the ponder was the fact that that of Judah, the contamination that they brought in. He said to ponder on the contamination that you brought into the house of God. So he's saying, ponder, what have you brought into the house of God? He says, ponder on that. Have you brought in good? He says, therefore, my brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that the labor is not in vain in the Lord. Know that your labor has not been in vain. Know that everything that you've sowed into the kingdom of God, he says, I've seen it. It hasn't been in vain. I love you. I give you. I bless you. He says, ponder on what contamination that came into the latter temple. What did you bring? He said, I don't want you bringing in that junk into this new temple. I don't want you to bring in that contamination that was contaminated with all the old idols, because they were talking about idols, idol worshiping. There were idols worshiping something. What are you idolizing today? What are you worshiping today? God says, don't bring it into this house. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Amen.